From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of June 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, will join us to take up the cash grain market. And we'll hear from the state statisticians in the five top corn-growing states of the nation. They are, of course, in order, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. And as we close out our program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be here to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Should be dry across much of the Midwest, and there's dry pockets around the globe, including China. We'll hear more about that as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby July contract was down 23 cents in the soft red, $7.59 and a quarter, the settlement price for the wheat. September futures at $8.09 and a quarter, down 22 and three quarters. And December there at $8.60, down 22 cents. And then things turned to the positive side. In the corn pit, July futures up 11 cents at $7.58 and a half. September, $7.28 and a quarter, up 10 and three quarters. And December corn, $6.79 and a half, the settlement price for the contract, up 6 and a half cents on the lead, or the harvest month. March futures, $6.91, up 7 and a half in the corn pit. And the May at $6.96 and a half for next year, up 6 and a half cents. July soybean futures, $13.86 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter. August, $13.82, a dime higher. September futures, $13.77 and three quarters. Up 10 and a half cents in November beans, $13.74 and three quarters, up 11 and a quarter. January contract of 2012 at $13.83 and a quarter in the bean pit, 10 and a quarter cents higher for the day. July bean meal at $3.60.70, up $5.40. July bean oil at $58.43, 6 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $103.92 and a half, a loss today of $1.45. The October at $1.10 and a nickel, down $1.02 and a half. August feeders at $123.87 and a half, finished 50 cents lower. September at $124.95, down $1.02 and a half. And June lean hogs today, $89.77 and a half per 100 pounds, finished 40 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract, $100.28 a barrel, down $2.39. Ethanol at 264 and two-tenths of a cent, unchanged on the day. Gas, for the natural gas, that is, at $4.62 and eight-tenths of a cent, down 3 and eight-tenths of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel, 4 cents lower at $3 a penny and two-tenths of a cent. Gold futures finished up at $1,542.40 an ounce, up $6.50 in the Dow now, down just about 224 points at 12,346. The U.S. dollar at 74.67 is down 0.03, and the CRB index on the day at 345.92, down 4.14 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign region as it comes from the National Weather Service. They say mostly sunny skies today, a high near 83 degrees, west-northwest winds at about 7 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 60 degrees, north-northwest winds at 3 to 5. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 84 degrees, east-southeast winds at 7 to 10. They'll gust as high as 15 tomorrow. And then Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 66 degrees, southeast winds at 9 miles an hour. On Friday, we should see mostly sunny skies, a high of 91 in Urbana-Champaign, southwest winds at 8 to 14, they'll gust to 20. And Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 71 degrees. By the time Saturday rolls around, sunny skies, a high of 91. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 67. Sunday, sunny, a high of 85. Sunday night, cloudy, a low of 63. Monday, mostly sunny and a high near 85 degrees. Monday night, cloudy, a low of 66. And Tuesday of next week should show us sunny skies, a high near 85 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to take up the agricultural futures markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a busy day in Chicago. Corn and soybeans on both sides of the marketplace. Wheat futures, though, led things down for a while. Tell me about it.
Well, let's talk about the wheat first. We know that wheat is turning back into a feed grain, and we do get the feeling that some of the early harvested wheat in the Georgia and the Carolinas is yielding fairly well. We do get the continued reports that Russia is selling wheat, and at the same time they have in their hard red winter wheat area and around the Black Sea, they are having some dry weather. But obviously, they made a decision to sell wheat, and my meteorologist says it's awfully hard to forecast continuation of dry weather in that area for an extended period of time. The Lynn Group came out and put in a very small planted acreage of corn and soybeans, and I would rate those smaller acreage with a little skepticism until June the 10th or 12th, and then I think it'd be a little more of a reliable number. I don't know why they put it out in the third place. The big thing, of course, the stock market's a disaster. Crude oil's down. The U.S. economy is definitely in a slowdown, but the market is... We hear that there was some export business. The corn basis on old crop corn is extremely strong, as well as soybeans. I think the bean market's strong because of some Chinese buying in the world.
Now, I've had the luxury, Paul, of listening to the state statisticians, and our listeners can hear those in just a moment. And sometimes the numbers and what they say are they jive together, but they give you a better picture. And it sounds, when you listen to them, as if there's some awfully wet areas, not only in the eastern part of the Corn Belt in Ohio, but Indiana, southern Illinois, and even parts of Iowa in the southern part. If you get down towards the Missouri River, those seem to be awfully wet. And conditions aren't the best as we get started in this growing season.
Well, you know, that's the reason why we have a six in front of the markets right now. And, we do have to say this, that between now and next Thursday, when I think my one meteorologist I watch very closely says we'll see some rain, some are even pushing that out further. But, the story I get, there's going to be a lot of planting done starting probably Friday, Saturday in some of these wetter areas. And the miracle of the modern farmer is unstoppable, and we'll have to see. And that's the reason why I think you have to wait until June the 10th or 12th before you really put down the final number. The other thing is, I think North Dakota is one I do think we'll see less corn. But heck, they're 97% planted, or I'm sorry, 74% planted in corn. So it's only a couple of million acres in the third place that they plant. So anyway, that's the Cooley take on it. As far as buying anything after June the 10th or 12th, I think you have to start basing that on demand and dry weather, and it's that simple.
Yeah, and it's a matter of waiting till then, right?
I think it is, and we have to just see how much grain gets planted. From all indications I get is that there's going to be a good old college try to get a lot of corn planted, and it's a $250 advantage to plant corn over soybeans, so I think they'll go after it.
Will soybeans catch up quickly to the five-year average or to where they ought to be?
Well, I think, of course that depends on the weather. And, of course, what does bother me a little bit is when we start to hear these 90, 95-degree temperatures and low humidity. So we are going to see some real drying tendencies. And the art is don't lose your moisture. With the new modern tillage and a lot of spray equipment, that's easier today than it was 5 years ago.
Best a set of advice for a producer at this point.
Well, I think that, you know, with basically these very strong corn and soybean basis levels, you know, that's a good indication that on-the-farm storage sure pays. I think that a person does have to be kind of a conservative marketer. But if you do sell stuff, you can always use the futures market. And, of course, the one trouble with taking, you know, just using crop insurance as a marketing tool, you know, if you've already got a lot of it sold, you have to raise a crop, or you have to run to the bank to pay up the difference. So it's a combination of hedging and a good replacement of selling of crops that you've got sold.
All right, anything else to add before I let
you go? Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too, Paul. Thanks so much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. You can hear Paul again, if you'd like, on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. We post everything there, not long after it airs on our radio stations.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Well, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report from NAS. It showed that nationwide, 86% of the corn crop had been seeded. That compares to 95% on the rolling five-year average. Remember, last week, Ohio was the real laggard at 11% planted. It continues to be that way at just 19% planted this week. That compares with its rolling five-year average of 86% in Ohio. Corn emerged nationwide now stands at 66% compared to 78% on the rolling five-year average, and it is in 61% good and 15% excellent condition around the nation. Soybeans planted at 51% by comparison to 71% on the rolling five-year average, and soybean emerge stand at 27% nationwide. That compares to 39% on the five-year average. Now, here are the state statisticians.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 29, 2011. Persistent precipitation almost completely stopped progress in south-central Iowa while allowing only limited progress for the remainder of the state. Localized heavy rains have caused erosion and ponding, with farmers along the Missouri River keeping an eye on the rising water levels. An inch or more of rain fell across most of the state, with the statewide average precipitation for the week totaling 1.9 inches, or nearly double the normal of 1.01 inches, while temperatures averaged 1.8 degrees below normal. There were only 2.1 days suitable for field work statewide during the past week. South Central Iowa, where some of the heaviest rain fell, had just over a half a day suitable, while Northeast Iowa had 3.3 days suitable. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels across the state rated 100% and 99% adequate to surplus, respectively, with the additional rainfall pushing the percentage in the surplus category up for the fourth consecutive week. Even with corn planting nearly complete, soybean planting increased only 9 percentage points from last week to 87% complete and fell just shy of the normal pace of 88%. South Central Iowa is the only area of the state where planting progress lags well behind normal, with more than 5% of their corn crop remaining to be planted and soybean planting lagging 33% behind the state average. 90% of the state's corn crop and 52% of the soybean crop has emerged, both slightly behind last year, but slightly ahead of the five-year average of 85 and 50% respectively. The first corn condition rating of the year stands at 1% poor, 19% fair, 65% good, and 15% excellent. Oats have begun heading, and the crop condition remains steady at 79% good to excellent. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 29th. Growing conditions were favorable for last week with warm days and adequate moisture. The average statewide temperature was 64 degrees, only 1.5 degrees below normal, while rainfall accumulations totaled 2.83 inches, well above the 1 inch we normally see for this period. The number of days suitable for field work averaged only 2.3 for the state. However, significant progress was nonetheless made on planting corn and soybeans. Corn planting advanced to 94% complete. This compares to 99% planted last year and 93% for the 5-year average. 80% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 93% last year and 79% for the 5-year average. The average height of all corn in the state was 5 inches. Compared to 10 inches 1 year ago and 7 inches for the 5-year average. The Southwestern Crop Reporting District is still struggling to get their corn planted where only 46% had been planted by week's end. Overall, the corn crop was reported in fair to mostly good condition. Soybean planting ended the week at 59% complete, compared to 69% planted on this date last year and 64% for the 5-year average. 30% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 46% 1 year ago and 36% for the 5-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was reported in fair to mostly good condition. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 93% headed, compared to 92% 1 year ago and 90% for the 5-year average. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending May 29, 2011. Field work was hampered due to significant rainfall, strong winds, and below average temperatures impacting the state. Planting of spring crops and herbicide applications were once again delayed with limited days suitable for field work. Growing degree day accumulations are well behind average, and development of all crops is behind average. Corn planting neared completion at 97%, with emergence at 77%. Corn conditions rated 64% good to excellent. Soybean planting stood at 78% complete, and soybeans emerged was 43%. One-third of the wheat crop was headed out. Conditions of wheat rated 1% very poor, 13 poor, 34 fair, 46 good, and 6% excellent, which is still below last year's 77% good to excellent. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Steady rain and cool, cloudy conditions slowed planting progress. Many reporters noted that this has been a tough, wet spring for planting. Planting progress was highly variable this past week, with only 2.7 days rated suitable for field work. Cool temperatures slowed recovery from heavy rains, and many fields were still wet, with some ponding. As of May 29th, topsoil moisture supplies were rated 55% adequate and 45% surplus. Below average temperatures prevailed again this past week. The statewide average temperature was 55.1 degrees, 4.7 degrees below normal. Corn planted was 88% complete, compared to 100% last year and 98% for the 5-year average. In the first condition ratings of the season, has corn crop rated as 3% poor, 32% fair, 55% good, and 10% in excellent condition. Soybean planted were 53% complete, compared to 93% last year and 89% for the average. Small grain planting neared completion, with spring wheat and barley at 92% and oats at 93% planted. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, May 29th. Some field work was accomplished early in the week before severe storms arrived Tuesday night, which halted progress. These storms brought heavy rain, high wind, hail, and several tornadoes, which caused significant damage to crops and buildings in some areas. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 1.47 to 7.85 inches, leaving only 1.5 days suitable for field work during the week. Many farmers will be forced to consider taking prevented plantings on their intended corn acreage as the June 5th cutoff date is fast approaching. 59% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, compared with 93% last year and 87% for the five-year average. By area, 64% of the crop has been planted in the north, 61% in the central region, and 47% in the south. Planting of corn is approximately 32 days behind last year and 17 days behind the five-year average. 25% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 67% last year and 62% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans is about 25 days behind last year and 17 days behind the average pace. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our thanks go to the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, and Minnesota for those updates. We bring them to you each and every Tuesday, usually. This week, of course, was a holiday, and we brought them to you on a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market now is Tara Oliver. She's with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Tara. Thanks for being on the line.
Thank you.
Hey, tell me about planting in your area where farmers are, corn and soybeans both first.
Our immediate draw area around the Logansport Delphi area has been very successful so far. I'd say we're probably about 95% on the corn. Beans probably are jumping above the 60% mark. We haven't gotten quite the amount of rain that it seems just north of us and just south of us have gotten. So we're kind of in a pretty good pocket over here.
And then if you've got a pretty good pocket, does that mean when you look out at your fall bids that your cash bid has not jumped in basis as much as maybe other areas?
We have jumped up a little bit. I would say we have not made quite as strong of moves as other areas have, but I think every processor is kind of in the same mindset right now, starting to feel a little bit concerned about not seeing an early harvest this year, and with the tight old crop supplies, you know, where are we going to have that, you know, kind of overrun where it runs from old crop to new crop? Is there going to be a gap where we're going to have to fill that just riding off of inventory, or is there going to be anything to buy?
And what's the strategy there?
The strategy right now for us, and I think for most processors in our area, is just to continue to seek out the old crop bushels as much as we can, you know, try and get what is left out there into our bins now, use that to grind down our inventory, and then still is some hope for an early harvest. We've gotten some improvements going on here to help us handle a little bit higher moisture corn, so maybe we can get a couple people out in the fields a little bit earlier and get some wet corn in here.
So what'd you do, buy more dryers?
We did buy a new dryer here, yes. Not more, but a new one, more efficient.
Yeah, a new, more efficient one. So that's something actually pretty big for the Andersons, because they have a pretty good way of drying corn, right?
Right. Yes. So we should be a little bit quicker here. We've got, you know, a higher handling capacity, so that should help us this fall.
All right. Thanks so much, Tara. What are your bids for the day?
Right now, Delphi cash corn 776, Climber 778, and cash beans to Delphi are 1386.
Hey, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara Oliver is with the Andersons Climbers Facility, located there in Logansport, Indiana, and Delphi. They join us each and every Wednesday afternoon to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. In just a couple of minutes, I'll be back when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City, about the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
It's Early Bird Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1866, Charles Davenport was born. An American zoologist, he contributed substantially to the science of heredity, and he was a pioneer in the use of statistical techniques in biological research. Also in 1866, American inventor W.H. Richardson was issued a patent for a cotton chopper. In 1875, A.P. Ashbourne received a patent for a process preparing coconut for domestic use. The process involved grating coconut, passing it through a sieve with hot water, and cooking it with hot steam for several hours before pressing it dry. Sugar and cinnamon are then added before packaging. In 1908, John Cron walked over 9,000 miles around the perimeter of the United States with his wheelbarrow. He completed the walk in 357 days, resting only on Sundays. In 1926, the first automatic pop-up toaster was introduced by the Walters Genter Company of Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 1951, the International Cheese Treaty was signed. Its key feature was usage and designation of origin and names for cheeses. And in 1976, Great Britain and Iceland settled their codfish war. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's out of Kansas City. Hi, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Hope everything's fine on your side of the fence.
Oh, it's very nice on our side of the fence. I was out on the South Farms today. It was sunny, warm, and they were thinking about spraying some weeds. Will other parts of the Midwest be able to do the same?
I think so, for a little while. I certainly don't want to imply everybody will see rain-free conditions, but the majority of the region certainly will. The few showers that do pop up over the next couple of days will be rather random. There's a little warm front that will likely form out across the western Corn Belt, and a small part of the showers and thunderstorms associated with that warm front will reach into parts of Illinois as we go into the day on Thursday and on into Friday morning. So we'll see some thunderstorms occurring in western and northern portions of Illinois. It won't go very far into the state, and most likely the rains will be more significant in Iowa and portions of northeastern Missouri. The rest of the eastern Midwest will probably be left pretty darn dry, outside of a couple random showers, but at least taking us through Saturday. There will be a cool front that will drop in across the region, especially the northern half of the Midwest over the weekend, especially late Saturday afternoon into Sunday, and it will produce a few showers scattering across the southern Great Lakes region and down into portions of northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and parts of Ohio. And that frontal boundary probably won't produce more than a quarter to a localized half inch of moisture and a very erratic pattern. So some counties will get left completely dry. Others will end up picking up those kinds of amounts. And it'll be in and out relatively quickly. So the interruptions to fieldwork over the weekend should be relatively brief.
Then turn your attention to other parts of the world. For instance, can you give us an update on Northern Hemisphere wheat in Eurasia, please? It was dry. It looks like they may be getting some rainfall or have gotten some rainfall.
It certainly looks like that we're turning the corner here on the European situation. Most of France, which has been unusually dry, really quite dry, along with parts of Germany, the UK, neighboring areas of both Spain and Italy, all those areas have had quite a bit of dryness here for a while. But we are seeing showers and thunderstorms starting to increase, and they will become even more significant as we go into the weekend and on into the first half of next week. And the precipitation should be widespread enough that will at least moisten up the topsoil and take the edge of stress down by a couple of notches. And this will probably be most significant in the central and southern parts of France, but there'll be some relief in some of the other areas there as well. On the other side of the coin, there, just further to the east in the Russian Volga River Basin, an important spring wheat producing area there, we are still looking at a net drying bias for the coming full week, and they've been rather dry now already for about 10 days, and the ground is firming up pretty quickly. We haven't seen a lot of excessive heat yet, but temperatures have gotten up into the lower 80s fairly often, and that's one of the reasons why that soil has firmed up considerably. I don't see a lot of rain, at least for the next week to 10 days. After that, we might see some showers, but not necessarily a soaking.
And finally, very short on China.
The China situation continues to be one of growing concern in my mind. Many areas in east central China are becoming progressively drier, and at this point in time, I don't see any real substantial relief. Stress levels will become higher and higher for unirrigated coarse grain and oil seeds.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.